good friend of mine, a religious sister who worked in our parish in Birmingham, tells me about somebody she's been visiting for the last 3 or 4 months. Jim has been given about 8 months to live, or at most a year, and the parish priest has asked her to visit Jim on a regular basis. And for her first few visits, Jim was barely civil. Television would always be on. He would never turn it down. And when she asked him how he was, he would grunt and say he was all right. And she says to me, one day when we were watching television together, I lifted his foot and said, "Jim, your nails are clipping." He said, "Yeah." "Do you want me to cut them?" she said. And he said, "All right." And believe it or not, she said, that was the breakthrough. I sat there cutting his fingernails and his toenails and started asking him questions. And he began to speak and unburden himself, and he desperately needed to. And she said, "I realized then that I wasn't there to help. I was there to be a listener." In our story that we've just heard in the Gospel, we hear Jesus trying to tell his friends what was waiting for him in Jerusalem. And this is one of three occasions in Mark's Gospel where Jesus tries to unburden himself, chapters 8, 9 and 10, of what lay ahead of him and of his troubled thoughts about it. And the response on each occasion was one of dumb failure to respond. This is the middle one. And the first one, you may remember, when Jesus first told them what lay ahead for him in Jerusalem, Peter called him aside, said, "I want a word with you," and tells them, "This is not going to happen." And you may remember that Jesus was pretty sharp with Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said, "for your thoughts are man's thoughts, not God's thoughts." Peter's instinct, and we see that elsewhere in the Gospel, especially in the Garden of Gethsemane, was to jump in and fix things when needed. And in our own lives, in our own situations, pain and suffering may often seem to call us to jump in and help. But perhaps what they call us, first of all, is to be still enough to hear how we can really help. In that Gospel story, we see a total lack of understanding of how to respond to what Jesus had told them. And it would appear that they left him walking along on his own. And they argued behind him as to who would take his place if anything happened to him. A totally dumb response to his attempting to tell them what lay ahead of him. They failed to listen. And so the response was cruelly insensitive. And when we begin to respond to somebody by listening, the rest follows naturally. Listening allows us to hear what needs to be done at that moment, and especially what not to do. And we are invited by God every time somebody approaches us with a burden, by a God who listens endlessly to each one of us. He invites us to listen to the person who is in pain. And listening fully to that person opens the way to knowing how to help. But listening to others is greatly helped if we know how to listen to ourselves. When we take time to listen to ourselves, we discover our truest voice, what the Quakers call the still, small voice within. And each one of us, I'm sure you'll agree, needs time to take time to quieten down and listen to ourselves, and listen to ourselves sympathetically, not harshly, not in a negative way, but to listen kindly to ourselves. To listen to that still, small voice, which is our basic connection with God is the surest way of being able to listen fully to others and to be the source of strength and support for them. And we all know from our own experience how we have been rescued and helped by people who seem to know exactly how to listen to us, to know when our hearts were full, how they were able to respond. And very often you find, don't you, that people who don't listen to us are people who don't know our hearts and don't take the time to find out what's in our hearts. They altogether miss what is important to us, something that is part of our deepest self, precious in our own eyes, as well as precious in God's eyes.